Welcome to another edition of the Why Pod, where we highlight everyday Wyoming leaders. This is a conversation with Brian Durlow of Frog Creek Partners. Our conversation touches on what drove him to start a company that could affect all of us, how he tells the Frog Creek story, and much more. I hope you enjoy listening as much as Brian and I enjoyed recording it. So let's get to it. Here's Brian Durlow.
My name is Brian Durlow. I'm the president and founder of Frog Creek Partners. We're an environmental technology company that produces the gutter bin, stormwater filtration system, and the Mundus bag water filter that removes plastic and other pollution from stormwater that results in cleaner rivers and oceans.
You sound like you've said that before.
Yeah, you kind of have to figure out an elevator speech too if you've got 1 minute to tell somebody what you do and why you do it.
Part of what we've talked about is you have an engineering background, but yet now you're building a company and you're in a sales role. But there are all kinds of reasons that you did it. But I had asked the question, what was it that caused you to take the leap and start your own company? If you could tell us a little bit about that.
Ever since a very young age, since I was like 15, I've always wanted to invent something useful, whether it be small, like a paperclip or something like that. But most engineers, I think, have some sort of dream to invent something useful, the ones that I've met. I've tinkered and made stuff in the garage or on my grandparents' ranch growing up, making something useful or fixing something with baling wire and so forth. I knew that if I didn't follow my dream and passion, that I would likely regret it later on in life. And so I, at the age of 42, that's when I jumped on the invention entrepreneurial bandwagon.
And you said there was one moment that kind of hit you, maybe not in the middle of the night, but it was late at night?
It started out with cigarette butts. My main invention was, it's still my kind of first like major invention, and my provisional patent is a magnetic cigarette filter, just a small magnetic element in a cigarette filter. So when it's littered on the ground, like 4 trillion of them are littered every year, you could pick them up with a simple magnet and throw them away very easily. And I thought, what a great idea. So I followed that, and through the advice of a consultant and now friend and co-inventor of the product, Dr. Terry Lowe at Colorado School of Mines, he said, Brian, that's a fantastic idea, but a terrible business. Figure out a different way to pick up cigarette butts. And so I was kind of crushed, but on my drive back from Golden to Casper, Wyoming, I knew he was right. But I still haven't lost the passion. I still think there's a way to magnetize cigarette butts for the betterment of the environment. It's going to take longer than I thought. But anyway, so at 4 days after that meeting, I was asleep, and I remember vividly sitting up in bed at 2:37 in the morning with an idea of a stormwater filter. Well, that's an idea. That's how you can capture all the cigarette butts and also all the other straws and plastic sacks and water bottles and all this stuff. So by 3 a.m., I was in my garage building a prototype out of cardboard. By 4 a.m., I was at Walmart buying more parts and back at my garage by 5. And a couple months later, I had entered provisional patents filed on my ideas. And I think 4 months later, I was one of the winners of the Casper Startup Challenge through the University of Wyoming.
What was it about this one that made you serious enough that you were willing to go into starting your own business, as opposed to it just being an idea that you tinkered with?
It's funny, I come from probably the most conservative state in the nation. My dad was a coal miner, I'm a mining engineer. My family comes from a ranching background, we're very conservative, but then you'd have to be living underneath a rock not to realize that our oceans are filling full of plastic. 25% of the stream miles in America are unfit for human recreation. And I don't say this lightly, that humans are, whether we try to or not, we're kind of trashing this planet. We're taking up a lot of space and we're eating a lot of food. And that just kind of struck me. I was like, this is something I need to do. And just down to the core, I felt it was something that I needed to pursue. And I just took the original concept and sold some very quickly and found out that they worked, but they weren't very easy to make and they weren't very cheap to make. And so I had to learn very quickly manufacturing skills and metal fabrication skills and sales skills and just trying to build the business. But it was an altruistic thing. Of course, I want to make money, but I feel that every dollar that this company makes is lives saved in the animal kingdom or even future human lives and so forth.
There are so many products out there that they're about either our convenience or our entertainment or our distraction. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing to invent a product that works, and that comes from an engineering background and specialization in engineering, but you mentioned this idea of the aspect of selling. You also need to take a product to market and get people to buy that product.
Mm-hmm.
Not many engineers have those skill sets naturally. It doesn't tend to be associated with engineers, but yet you enjoy the aspect of selling.
I do. I like talking to people. I can say this because I'm an engineer. Sometimes they're better off left in the dark closet and just left to their AutoCAD or SolidWorks. And I say that kiddingly to all you engineers out there. But I do. I love interacting with people and finding out their problems and figuring out ways to solve it. Engineers go to school to learn how to solve problems. I remember my dad's an engineer and I talked to him. I said, Dad, and I was young, I said, engineers make things more complicated. And he looked at me, he says, no, Brian, we make things simpler. And that's really the job of an engineer, really the job of an engineer is to solve problems and make things simpler. And that's probably one of my, the most difficult aspects of the gutter bin is, and the Mundus bag is making it more simple, taking parts away and so forth. But I'm lucky enough to have outgoing parents, mom and dad. They love to talk to people. And so that passed on to me. And I like talking to people and solving their problems.
When you're out, what some people might call selling,
mm-hmm.
you're telling a story. You're getting to know people. I've seen you in front of a group and you weave facts together in a way that's not offensive to other people.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be an ability to connect that you really enjoy.
You know, it's not just a sales process. It's the awareness campaign. A lot of people don't even realize that they know that there's plastics in the oceans. They know that there's turtles with straws stuck up their nose. They know the cigarette pollution is probably a problem, but they don't know why and where it comes from. And I do drop factoids all the time that 80% of the stormwater in America is not filtered before it goes to the river. Most Americans think that the stormwater that goes through the storm drain goes to the water treatment plant and it's filtered before it goes to the river. That is there. No, that's not true. It goes straight to the river. All the stuff you see on the streets, the tire treads, the plastic bottles, the cigarette butts, all get flushed to the river and can kill a lot of animals and ultimately end up in our food and water drinking source. It's not just selling the gutter bin. It's selling the idea that we've got to clean up after ourselves. For thousands of years, we have been dumping stuff into creeks. The old mining towns, all the old houses and everything like that faced away from the creeks. They faced to the road, and all their sewage and all their dumping went to the creek behind them. The creek was the takeaway facility, and it was downstream that for them to figure out and so forth. That's where cholera comes from. But now we're finding out that storefronts are turning towards the rivers, and it's a very important part. Water is our most natural resource. I challenge anybody on this planet to live more than a week without water, you know, but we take it for granted. And it's not just when I go out there and I talk to people, which I love doing, it's not just selling the gutter, but it's selling the idea that we better clean up after ourselves, or it's not going to be good for us or the planet.
You've had some pretty massive successes already mm-hmm. in terms of starting a business and launching a product. One example that you shared with me was the Long Beach example.
Mm-hmm.
Could I get you to brag about your product just a little bit?
Well, I'll start out with being a stroke of good luck a couple years ago. I invented the gutter bin with the Mundus bag water filter and driving down the road and I got a call from a guy and he's the president of Mycelex. His name is Hal Alper. And he says, you know, I saw your website. I think it's one of the coolest stormwater platforms I've ever seen. I'd like to talk with you about doing some business together because we've got some filtration media and I've seen a lot of products out there, but based upon the path that you're on, I think you've got it. You're onto something here. But okay. And so he flew up here and he brought up some of his filter media, which is Mycelex. And we started using Mycelex's filtration media into the Mundus bag, which Mycelex removes hydrocarbons, oils, greases, and even emulsified oils. It's environmentally safe. It's approved for use in the Galapagos Islands and by the U.S. Coast Guard. And I've even used it, much to my wife's dismay, to skim fat off of a roast in a crock pot. So I know it's safe as well, but I wouldn't recommend that to anybody using that. But I do it. Then, so I use this. I was approached by a marine terminal at the port of Long Beach saying, we've got these trench drains down here and we're getting hammered by regulators. Our iron, zinc, copper, lead, hydrocarbon and total suspended solid levels are way too high. And we're going to move from baseline to level one, which is going to equal more fines or money and so forth. Can you help us? So I looked at the trench drain. I didn't have a trench drain filter at the time when I talked to him. I was on site and literally within 5 minutes, I was like, I know how to solve this. So I built a new frame, invented a new frame for that and put the Mundus bag in there and put a bunch of Micelex filter media in there, a proprietary blend. And now after over a year of filtering their water, we found out that our customer at the Port of Long Beach has the cleanest stormwater of any marine terminal at the Port of Long Beach and the Port of Los Angeles. So we've seen now that's starting to roll into more sales because the proof is in the pudding. We're seeing analytical results that we're cleaning up water for them.
Congratulations, first of all. The second aspect, there's this idea of, I think you called it good luck, networking. You've had some folks in your community also really help out.
Thank you. There is a lot of people. I mean, I could talk for 2 hours, all the people that want to help, including you wanting to do this podcast. I appreciate it. John Huff and I spoke about 2-3 years ago now, and he's just asked me, what are you doing these days, Brian? So, well, I'm not working in oil and gas anymore. Got this idea. He says, well, I've got 3 guys not doing anything, hardly anything. I've got a shop. Why don't you come on down and build what you want to build? And I'll provide the labor and whatever equipment that you need. And so I spent about 2 months at his shop and his workers helped me put it together. And there's just literally 100 feet away from my office where I'm sitting right now is where John's shop is from the original gutter bin that we built right there is what I submitted to the Casper Startup Challenge as one of the winners. And John is a great guy. I really appreciate his help. There's other people too that I got a call from a guy in California, Altadena, that is looking to move to Portland. He says, I remember talking to you at a party 2 years ago and I just haven't stopped thinking about what you're doing and I want to help. How can I help? I've got another guy in Wilmington, Southern California that is a manager of a recycling group. And he says, I don't need paid. I want to help you. How can I help you? I've got all these people that it's like divine providence, or as in the alchemists call it, the principle of favorability. You keep moving forward towards your destiny, whether it be trying to save the planet or whatever your passion is. If you keep moving forward and get up every morning and try to work towards your goal, your God or the universe or the spirit is going to help you. As long as it's a good cause, I feel, is going to help you do it. And it's just happened time and time again. You just got to get out of bed, put your feet on the ground, and keep moving towards your goal, and people will reach out and help you.
Obviously, any person who starts a business pays a price in lots of different ways. And one of the things you mentioned before we started recording was that you had gotten a little bit out of balance, mm-hmm. and now you're thinking and approaching that differently.
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that. I've been at RPM almost in the red for about almost 4 years now, just working. I mean, sometimes getting up at 3:30 in the morning and working till 9 and all that stuff. Not all the time by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not rare either. And I've got a beautiful wife and a lovely child, and I hear from them often, changed. When are you going to spend more quality time with the family? And it's just been a shift. And also, I think that it's easy to get whatever vice. I always say a man with no vices is a man with no virtue, and I've got a lot of virtue, so I've got a lot of vices. But I'm trying to solve those things, and I think people can overeat, they can overdrink, they can overdrug, they can overdo a lot of different things, whatever that is, to help de-stress. And whether it's New Year's or something like that I just have felt that if I'm going to succeed and live long enough to see the fruits of my labor, I better clean up a little bit. I'm no alcoholic and not addicted to drugs or anything like that, but I am known to enjoy several beers and stuff like that. But I've tried to be a clean eater and work out more. Why are these people like Richard Branson and Mark Cuban or Bill Gates? Most of these people are pretty fit. How do they find the time to do that when they're managing these multinational corporations and so forth? And I'm kind of starting to realize that for me to maintain the brain health and the stamina that is required to be successful, I've got to be healthy. So I'm trying to focus more in on that. And I'm finding that I've got a ton more energy and I don't have to work. I work smarter. I think I work smarter, not longer, harder.
What a shame it would be if you burn the candle at both ends, so to speak. Your company ends up being incredibly successful. You're helping the planet. You're helping all of us. And yet you're not around to enjoy it.
Exactly. That's exactly, and that's what goes through my mind is you burn real hard and you work 7 years or 15 years, whatever it is, and all of a sudden it starts becoming profitable and fruits of the labor, and all of a sudden you just croak of a heart attack because you're 80 pounds overweight or whatever.
Absolutely. And you mentioned your family. I was lucky enough to meet your daughter a few minutes ago. She's in a dual language program that you mm-hmm. mentioned you helped to support.
Mm-hmm.
It's not directly related to the business, but why would you choose to help with a program like that? Why would you devote time and energy to it when you've got all these other things that you're trying to pay attention to as well?
Well, the dual language immersion program, actually, we helped start that before I started Frog Creek Partners. So that was like in, I don't know, 2014 or something like that. We were approached by some friends at a dinner one night at Taya and Scott Wells' house, and they said, what do you think about starting a dual language program here in Casper? I said, well, I don't even know what that is, but I'll Google it and I'll get back with you. But the next day, we're just like, we're on board. But to make a long story short, I worked in Australia. I've worked or lived in four different continents, in South America, North America, Europe, and Australia, and I worked in Asia as well. And I felt a disadvantage when I was sitting at a conference table in Vietnam or at a conference table in Rio de Janeiro when these people were speaking Portuguese or Chinese or Vietnamese and stuff like that. Because of my international business experience, I knew that if America is going to really succeed in the future, we've got to be able to talk the language of the world. And there's 1.5 billion Chinese out there, or Chinese speakers, I should say, I think, something like that. And the choice was between, do we push towards Spanish or Mandarin? And Wyoming Dual Language Parent Steering Committee really was pushing towards, a group of us was towards Mandarin, the other part of us was towards the Spanish. But within the course of about 18 months, a small group of interested parents convinced the Natrona County School Board and the Paradise Valley Elementary School System and Park Elementary to start DLI, Dual Language Immersion. And so now Vivi's in her 7th year of learning Mandarin. We took, I don't know, about 60 of us went to China last March, and we went to four major cities and watched our kids speak fluently. Well, it's not fluently. I understand what fluent means now after DLI. It's not fluent, but they could converse with these Mandarin speakers, and it was great. It's great to see, especially coming out of Casper, Wyoming, of all places.
Maybe the last question that comes to mind for me is, you were in all these other global situations. You could have very easily found another position with a global organization. You could have moved to any place in the world. What was it about staying in Casper, staying in Wyoming, that you found appealing?
Point in fact, it's a while ago now, but I believe I had a job opportunity in Singapore. And I think I even had an opportunity back down in Australia, but I chose to stay in Wyoming because Vivi was just starting the DLI program and my daughter was, and I was like, this is something I want to stick with. But Wyoming is special to me. I was not born here. I was born in South America, but I grew up here ever since the age of 4 or something like that. And I like the people here. You know, Wyoming has always been really focused on coal mining, trona mining, oil and gas, and ranching, agriculture, and some tourism, being Yellowstone National Park is here. And I've been on several boards around the state, but I felt that here was an opportunity that an environmental technology company that had a manufacturing flair to it, with interstate commerce, but also wasn't in the oil and gas, it wasn't in the fossil fuels industry, that it's like, I can start this right here. Casper is I grew up in Sheridan. There's plenty of cities and towns in Wyoming that have their own attributes. But Casper just has to be, I would say, probably one of the most entrepreneurial, has the most capabilities for manufacturing and so forth.
Is there anything else that you wish people knew about what you're working on, environmental issues that are going on?
I wish more people realized that all the plastic in the ocean and the polluted rivers starts right at the storm drain in front of your house or on those storm drains on the way to work. All that stuff goes right into the river. I'm going to spout off a couple different things that just, like you say, rattle around in my brain. I think a lot about, but scientists at San Diego State University have proven that one smoked cigarette butt in a liter of water will kill 5 out of 10 fish in 4 days. So one cigarette butt can kill 5 fish. There's 4 trillion cigarette butts littered in the world around the world every year and growing. And what is it in the cigarette butt that kills those fish? It's the cadmium, it's the formaldehyde, it's the nicotine. Nicotine is one of the strongest insecticides known to mankind. So what we spray soybean crops with, corn crops, that's why tobacco plants produces the nicotine, is to keep insects off its leaves. And so all this nicotine that's going into the waterways is killing the basal life form that's feeding everything else. People don't like mosquitoes, but they feed a lot of things. Another factoid that I've learned recently is Americans eat an equivalent of one credit card's worth of plastic every day. I mean, a credit card's worth. Then there's a lot of research right now around tire treads. I mean, you think about this. You buy a 23-inch tire 4 years ago, and 4 years later, it's a 22-inch tire because all that rubber has been laid on the road, and it's hydrocarbon. Tires are made of hydrocarbons and zinc. All that gets washed straight to the river. We really need to do something about the pollution problem in this world. There's a lot of different people taking it, a lot of different stances on whether it be the forest fires in Australia right now, the burning of the Amazon forest fire, carbon dioxide, air emissions. What is your stance on climate change? And I tend to stay away from the climate change discussion when it comes to open forums, but between friends I'll talk about and stuff like that. But I don't try to push an agenda around climate change. But like I said, I did have a senator, U.S. senator in my office a couple months ago, and I asked him, I said, so what's your stance on climate change? And he said to me, he says, I don't really know how to answer that, except for I do know one large volcano would eclipse all the CO2 that humans have ever produced since the beginning of time. And I said, well, that may be true, but I've never seen a volcano spew plastic. And you're like, well, that's a fair point right there. And so I don't focus on the climate change. Do I think it's happening? Do I think there's anthropogenic climate change? Do I think humans are affecting this planet? Absolutely. Do I think we need to do something about it? Absolutely. I think we are. I've got hope in the human species that we can do it. But I've chosen to focus in on stormwater pollution. I've chosen to try to remove those plastic straws, those cigarette butts, the plastic water bottles, the hydrocarbons, the heavy metals, all that stuff, so it doesn't get flushed to the North Platte River, which is 100 feet away from where we're sitting right now, or the Mississippi River, or the Yangtze, whatever. So that's what I'm focusing in on. And I believe the gutter bin is a solution to solving that, and the Mundus bag, and just trying to have fun with trying to make stormwater pollution capture sexy and cool again by getting people's mind into the gutter.
When I'm walking down the street, I'll notice storm drains, and I'm trying to see if they're one of yours, if they have a logo, because you also do sponsorships. Mm-hmm. So someone can sponsor a storm drain for a certain location.
Yep.
So there are a lot of ways that people can get involved or organizations can get involved. And if they want to do that, they can click on the links that'll be in the notes.
One of the interesting angles that I kind of landed on a couple of years ago is putting people's companies or their names on top of storm drains, so they're there for decades. And they can literally sponsor the gutter bin. But it's funny that you say that, because I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times now, is, Brian, you've completely changed my view on storm drains. And every time I see a cigarette butt in the gutter, I think of you. and whether I don't know if that's a good thing, but at least people are starting to become aware that the problem's out there and we've got to solve it.
Well, I'm glad you chose to stay here, and cheering for you. I'm hoping great things come.
Thank you very much.